Simply His Coffee Shop. We are in part 6, which is the last one of our 10 Commandments series that we have been doing. So today we are going to be talking about Commandments 7 and 10, which is adultery and coveting. If you have missed the other ones, please go back and watch them. They've been exciting shows and we've covered so many things. You know, it's been crazy. Please go back and watch them. So a lot of people have questions on adultery. What is adultery and what defines it, you know? So, Allie, explain to us what adultery is.
Well, one thing I can do is explain what it's not.
Okay.
So, for example, adultery becomes this blanket word that people throw over all kinds of behaviors. Now, being very clear, these other behaviors are condemned in the Bible as well. It's just that they're condemned in other places. I had somebody come up to me one time and we were talking about diet and the importance of eating healthy food and things like that. And they said something about when people go to a food buffet restaurant and they commit adultery with food. And what they were talking about was indulging the flesh and being gluttonous, which is also condemned in the Bible. So it's not that their concept was wrong. But it was a misappropriation of the word adultery.
Right.
Adultery specifically refers to two people having sexual intercourse who are one or the other of them is married to someone else.
Right.
So what we're talking about is violating the most holy and sanctified union that God has given to mankind, causing somebody who's married to violate their marriage vow to their spouse.
Right.
And it's breaking up a monogamous relationship.
Yeah.
It's exposing somebody else to a third party pregnancy or a potential STD. I mean, it's a violation of trust of a monogamous and sanctified relationship between a man and a woman. That's where adultery is sinful because it tears apart the closest thing that we can understand to our relationship with God, which is the union of two people. Mm-hmm. And then somebody else comes in and breaks that up. And it's just a dishonor to that relationship. So that is specifically what adultery is. Now, the Bible does condemn sexual immorality, fornication, idolatrous worship that is in conjunction with sex. There's a lot of different sexual blanket terms that appear throughout the Bible, but they're just not in this specific commandment. But we also have to remember, the commandments are not the catch-all for every single sin that a man or a woman can perform.
Right.
You know, there are other sins that didn't land within the Ten Commandments. They're still sins.
Oh,
they're just not addressed by these 10 points.
Allie, a lot of the people that just heard what you have to say, and I agree, that's specifically what adultery is. But then Jesus actually in the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 through 28, qualified it and made it a matter of heart. I'd like to bring this into the conversation. Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath already committed adultery with her in his heart."
This is where God knows the heart. Sin is within our heart.
Right.
And basically what Jesus is saying is the sin occurs when you begin ruminating on that temptation and when you decide to really entertain those thoughts. Yeah. And eventually our thoughts become actions.
Right.
Yeah. The heart is the wellspring of the rest of our life, right?
Yes.
And so our actions come from what we allow ourselves to think about. So Jesus is basically saying, your intention says your actions are already going there.
Yeah.
So you're already guilty because you're already making that decision in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, let's talk about this. Somebody, you know, businessman on a business trip because it's so cliche, I'm just slips a wedding ring off and walks into, you know,
the bar.
Yeah, the bar. Let's just keep it super cliche here. You know, but he can't find anybody he can pick up for whatever random reason. Did he commit adultery or not? Well, yeah, he was there. He was looking for it. He was looking for trouble, and his wife has been betrayed.
Yeah.
But somebody else didn't avail the opportunity for him to act on it. But guess what? Next time or the following, he's made the decision. He's looking for trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's going to commit that act. So basically, Jesus is saying, as man thinks in his heart, so is he, right?
Yeah.
And actually, now it begins to tie in with covet, because we look at the word, the Hebrew word hamad, and it's a kind of desire that means you're already moving in a direction of taking on deviant behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jesus is saying, when you've looked at this in your heart and you've begun to think about acting on it, It's only a matter of time. You're already guilty. Your actions are going there.
I want to address this kind of early on in this episode. I know there are going to be people that are thinking, while we're on the subject of adultery and sexual immorality, what about, and then fill in the blank. There are so many things going on in society
right now.
Things that
today,
are
yeah.
big movements on everything from YouTube to TikTok to social media. It's all over the place, and people are going to be asking about those kinds of movements. In a half an hour episode, we're not going to have time to address every single one of those things.
Right.
But I do want to point out, right now, the Western world is not making it very easy for male or female, but again, since we've identified the cliche, a man walks into, not a bar, but a grocery store.
Yeah.
And he's in the checkout line.
Right.
And there's, you know, some celebrity wearing some, you know, bikini bottom. And I won't say names, but the celebrity that you mentioned is very voluptuous. Mm-hmm. And there's a behind right in your face.
Right.
Yeah.
That guy did not say before he got in his car, I'm going to go cheat on my wife today. He walked in. He was confronted with an image.
Yeah.
It blasted him in the face. God said it is not good for man to be alone. He instilled within male and female the amorous need for a romantic companionship, satiation kind of relationship thing. So it is within us to want romance, see it, want it. I love what you said about rumination because there are some men and women, bless their hearts, that would look at that magazine and go, oh dear God, I just sinned, lust of the flesh, I rebuke myself. And it's like, the West just isn't really helping right now.
Right.
It doesn't mean that by happening to glance by, or to let's just be honest, even my husband has acknowledged this, that if we go into a shopping mall and some girl is wearing scantily clad next to nothing, he, not out of lust, but in his mind, he's like, look, she needs to put some clothes on. Like, he's looking at her like a fatherly figure. Like, girl, put some clothes on. If you're not completely certain and you happen to see a guy going like this, everybody went, oh, he's just got to, you know, what is he thinking about? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I go back to what we said in the last episode. We always think as Christians, we know what is going on with somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it is a matter of heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that it's somebody else's right to come in and say, I saw you looking at that magazine. Mm. You've committed adultery.
Right.
Well, the Bible says to take every thought captivity to the will of Christ.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So to be confronted, like you use the word confronted, that's a great word. You're going about your life. You're not looking for trouble. Boom, surprise, there's that thought in your brain now because somebody just stuck it on the front of the TV screen or the magazine or wherever.
Right.
And when we lived in Portland, Oregon, before we moved away, one of the local bars that offered exotic dancing put one of their dancers in the window. She had on a very skimpy two-piece bathing suit, and of course it was red, and she was interacting with people driving by. She was waving at them and kind of doing these kind of come hither gestures with her arms and her hands and stuff, and it made me mad because I had my kids in the car.
Sure.
Yeah.
And there we are. We're driving down the road.
We were getting groceries, Mom.
And so to be confronted with what the world is throwing in your face at the speed of light, the Western culture doesn't help. But to take all of that and then to take those thoughts captive to the will of Christ and say, is this where God wants me to be? Is this what God would have me doing? That's where we filter. And that's where, are we committing the sin of rumination? Is it going to become an action? Are we doing something wrong? Versus, are we dealing with this that needs to be eradicated? And it may even be a little, for depending on who it is and what they struggle with, there may be a period of struggle before that thought's eradicated. Some Bibles use the word arrest in that translation. Mm-hmm. Literally seize it, hold it hostage, make it bend to your will and to God's will.
Yes.
You know, you're going to make that thing do the knee bend 16 times if you have to. Get it out of your head. It reminds me of a song Carmen sang. Some people say let it out. Other people say hold it in. But Jesus says crucify it. That thing is sin.
Mm.
And that was his temptation boogie, I think, like in the 70s. It's one that nobody's even heard of because it was
so obscure.
Yeah, it's fun. Look it up on YouTube. Maybe it's there.
It should be there. Carmen was great.
He
had a lot of songs that were very anointed like that.
Yeah.
I'm bothered by the fact that the Western attitude is, you don't understand. I love her. The heart wants what the heart wants.
Mm.
And the Christian response is hate speech, or it's kicked out or whatever, because the Christian response is, it doesn't matter. It's not your wife. You know what I mean? adultery is becoming one of those things where, well, the heart wants what the heart wants. I fell out of love, and over here I felt this other thing. Look, love is a choice.
Yes.
Or it is a feeling.
Or an emotion.
I am hard to love. My husband has to choose all the time. I'm going to love this woman. She has lost her mind. Her doctor messed with her progesterone. I gotta love this woman.
That's funny.
He chooses to love me, right? Yeah. There are days I'm hard to love. I could say vice versa, except I'm really lucky because my husband's very easy to love. But seriously, it doesn't matter what your heart feels for 5 minutes. You have to arrest that. And you have to make love a choice before it's a feeling. It doesn't matter if it's not your spouse. Right. Stop.
Here's another thing, though. We go back to this individualistic versus collectivistic society.
Yeah. Yes,
we lived
again.
In a society when these rules worked better than they do today, where each person lived with the other person in mind. And this was based on mutual familial survival.
Right.
It's not like there was a civilization nearby that would likely take them in. You know, this was a matter of living for the family built the wealth together, and it fed and literally clothed one another. Mm-hmm. They took care of each other. You didn't indulge as many of these personal emotions because you have people relying on you. Yeah. And we've lost that in this society. We don't think about the people who are relying on us. We don't die to our flesh daily and take care of the people who are counting. That's right. Yeah. Me, myself, and I, and that's the three. And look at the spike in depression, anxiety, and suicidal rates, because can I ultimately make myself happy? No.
Right.
I'm miserable with just me, myself,
it's
and I.
That's not my design. That's not how it's designed. Yeah.
Well, also, I don't think that women and relationships from the biblical culture are very well understood. For instance, there's a lot of common teaching in the Western culture that says that the woman at the well was an adulteress. Mm-hmm. We assume that because there she is, and Jesus comes to her, and she's been with so many men before, and now she's living with another man. Let me help you a little bit at home. A woman was not allowed to divorce a man, and half the time they were also not allowed to consent to their own relationship. Even if they were full-blown adult, the culture that you're talking about, collectivist society, says that a woman has to have the blessing of the uncle and the second cousin twice removed in order for her to even be allowed to go and marry another man.
Right.
So the woman at the well was not an adulteress. You
the
know,
town
like,
tramp.
Like some, she was not the town tramp. She was used and abused by several men in a row that made a commitment to her and then broke that commitment. Mm-hmm. So when we look at these trampy women in the Bible, in fact, I don't have time, but Mary Magdalene was not a prostitute. She would not have been called Mary Magdalene if she was. Mary of Magdala recognizes her as a patroness, and I have looked into it, and it's likely that she was a patroness of the fishing industry in Galilee. But over in another part of the New Testament, Jesus says that he actually accepted money from her to support his ministry. If she was getting that money off a polluted bed, Jesus would not have accepted that money.
Yeah.
Furthermore, people are getting her confused with Mary of Bethany and another random Mary who comes into the Gospels. These women are just ruthlessly attacked in our modern Western culture because somebody at some point just came up with some kind of a theory that explained something away, and now it's
just
a part of our
canonical
teaching. And this all is related to the idea of coveting too, because adultery and coveting, what is coveting? To want something that isn't yours. What is adultery? To want something that isn't yours and to take it.
Yeah.
In the matter of romance.
Yeah.
We do have to take a really quick break. We'll be right back.
Hey gals, whether you are married, taken, single, or ready to mingle, you'll want to grab your girls and check out Simply His newest Galentine Day package. See what I did there? Gather your girls and dive into a fun and faith-filled night as you discover how God sees you through eyes of love and complete acceptance. God's design to use women as influencers, your true identity in Christ, and the life of victory that God has destined for you. From the Simply His division of Defender Publishing comes the extraordinary 30-day devotional, Arise, by Katie Walker and Philippa A. Buens. Arise is the perfect devotional to share with the important women in your life. We are also including the brand new Simply His tumbler. This stunning turquoise stainless steel tumbler is the perfect on-the-go cup. This tumbler is a great vessel for those toasty, hot, early morning coffees or those ice-cold, refreshing drinks. Speaking of hot and toasty beverages, we have a splendid Simply His Irish breakfast tea that is ideal to serve at the next girl time brunch. This loose leaf tea is a smooth and balanced blend that is beautiful on its own or can be served with a splash of milk for a creamier taste. I'm very excited to announce the release of the newest addition to the Simply His merchandise, the sleek rose gold Simply His t-shirt. This shirt comes in sizes small to 3X and has the Simply His logo printed in metallic rose gold on a soft and lightweight t-shirt. We've included it in this package so you can get your hands on it as soon as possible, whether it's for one of your gals or just treating yourself this Galentine's Day. Shop Simply His online at skywatchtvstore.com or call 844-750-4985. Don't miss out. For only $50 plus shipping and handling, you don't want to miss out on this phenomenal package. Shop Simply His online at skywatchtvstore.com or call 844-750-4985.
Welcome back. We are talking about adultery and coveting. It's been quite fascinating so far. I think Sharice had a question.
Yeah, Allie, so, you know, I've heard taught that covet in Hebrew means to want to the point of seeking to take away something that belongs to another person. Can you expound on that?
Yeah, covet is the Hebrew word hamad. And basically, it's interesting because, well, not every single time, but every time it's used in the Bible, it's a very deviant kind of temptation. So the first time it shows up is when Eve desired the fruit on the tree in the garden.
Right out of the gate.
Yeah. And then it doesn't appear again until the Ten Commandments when we're told not to do it. And then the next time it shows up is when Achan went in, when Joshua was fighting with this other army and God had told him, basically wipe these people out and don't take anything. Not one thing. And Achan felt hamad mm-hmm. toward the spoils of war,
yeah.
took them and hid them in his tent. Yep. And this was such an atrocity and such an affront to God and his people that Achan and his entire family
yeah.
were executed for this. So hamad is a kind of desire that will propel you to do evil things
mm-hmm.
and to disobey God. It's not, oh, this donut looks really good and I really want to eat it. It's a lot more severe
yeah.
than that. It's the kind of thing where you're willing to hurt other people. You're willing to turn your back on God.
Do anything to get what you want.
Exactly. And so if you're looking at something that belongs to somebody else and you desire it with that kind of hamad, not only are you sabotaging them in your heart,
yeah.
you know, and this brings in a component of envy, which
yeah.
envy is often
yeah.
misunderstood. People think it's kind of like you're jealous, but envy is actually when you want to excel past them. You want, if they have a level 10 something, you've got to have a level 11.
Mm.
And if they
Tommy
have,
Topper.
Yeah, it's almost like this really extreme kind of keeping up with the Joneses. If they have something good, you need the next best thing, just a little bit better than theirs. And
yeah.
it sabotages our brotherly love and the kind of love that God tells us to have for another person. If I truly love you, then I'm so happy for you when something good happens
in your life.
And if you are only getting a level 9 of something and I want you to have a level 10, then I'm cheering you on. You got one more level. Yay, this is great. You're going to get the next best thing beyond what you already have.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if I'm sabotaging you and I want what you have, every time your happiness goes down a little, then I feel a little bit better. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
It's the
yeah.
complete opposite yeah. of the way we've been instructed to love each other.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the idea that someone would see something someone else has and want it so badly, they're willing to feel that kind of deviant temptation toward it. And that's why we grouped this together with adultery, because then adultery is when you cross that line and take it.
Mm-hmm.
It tends to breed dissatisfaction in the heart, too, when you get what you want
yeah.
all the time. And things that maybe God knows is not good for you. Just to use the age-old cliche here, as a mother, if all I ever give my kids is cookies, candy, McDonald's, whatever they ask me for over and over and over again, I know that's not good for them. I'm going to tell them no, but it's going to breed this entitlement if I do continue to give it to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have this person that over a period of their lives, they generally get everything they want, and they don't care if they're supposed to have it or not. They're going to go out and get it because, darn it, that's what they want, and they go after this thing, and then they finally get it. Have you noticed that those are the most miserable people?
Yes.
They're not happy. Most of the time, they didn't come by what they have honestly or earnestly. They didn't earn it.
Mm-hmm.
So they can't appreciate it because you cannot appreciate that which you did not earn.
Yeah.
yeah.
And so you get to this point in your relationship with God and other people where you're sitting there going, I wanted this and I took it. I wanted that and I took it. I should be thankful. I had to have a big house and now I have a big house and I got to hire a maid to clean it because I'm overwhelmed. Everything is discontent. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what I mean?
When it's back. I'm going to keep harping on this. It's that individualistic culture when it's all about me. Right. I don't have inside me what I need to make me happy. And okay, on one side of the, I get it. You know, if it's just me and God, and I'm doing what God wants me to do. But even then, I'm not living about me if I'm living about the way God wants me to be. Let's talk about Ecclesiastes. It'd be like unto a chasing of the wind. You know what I'm saying? And at the end, it's all vanity. Yeah. There's no joy to be found in it.
Right.
So, you know, talking about things not looking, you know, on the outside what they really are, you know, I've always heard the phrase that the grass isn't always greener on the other side of the fence. It's green where you water it, right?
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
And how miserable thinking about this grass when you've got that grass and, you know.
Well, and that's the thing with coveting is you never know what's going on the other side of that fence, you know? And so I remember back when I used to clean houses for people, and actually it was, I liked that job. It was really, I mean, it was fun, you know, you just clean and it's beautiful. You get to see these gorgeous houses. But some of the people that I cleaned for were extremely wealthy people. And I remember when I first started going to their houses, driving up, and I mean, we're talking mansions, gorgeous homes, building materials that cost more than, like the flooring in this room costs more than my whole house, like really nice, nice things.
Yeah.
And just thinking, oh man, I would love to have this life. And then cleaning for them. And when you're cleaning for people, you do see a lot of their inner workings of their life.
Sure.
Absolutely.
They were some of the most unhappy people. Not all of them. Yeah. Some of them were, you know, super nice people and happy, and they seemed to have it figured out. But some of them were some of the most unhappy people I had ever known in my life, and families that are just torn apart because so much of their life had been spent chasing, you know, the wrong things. Mm. And it wasn't about the people. It was about the stuff and the things and the things and the stuff and the stuff.
Became
and the things.
Became disconnect.
And there was a disconnect. Yeah. And I just remember one particular situation. They were all going to fly to Hawaii for Christmas. And their kids were in different colleges and stuff. So everybody was supposed to fly home, and then they were going to fly to Hawaii, spend the Christmas holiday, and then they were all going to go back to their separate lives. And they were in such a fight. The kids didn't want to go to Hawaii. They were bickering. One of the kids missed the flight because he was mad, and he just told the parents, forget it. I'm not going to Christmas. And it was like, I'm hung up on the first thing. Hold on. You're going to Hawaii?
What? Christmas?
Yeah. I'm still on like, that.
I
have his ticket.
Yeah. I'm going to use that.
So much unhappiness with chasing what the world has to offer. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about adultery. Let's talk about coveting. Anytime you get the things that you want and you don't acquire them the right way, eventually you're not happy. You know, people can think, oh, you know, we're... You said, you know, I this isn't my wife, but I'm in love, and so we're going to do this thing. That will often fall apart. I mean, there's a way to go about acquiring things, and if you have less, but you've acquired it honestly, you're going to be a lot happier with that than chasing things that other people have. And when you take things that other people have, you're going to have the problems those other people have that you didn't see from the other side of the fence.
There is that.
The New Bible Commentary, right on the coattails of what you just said, they say something interesting. Here they're talking about coveting. The final commandment here forbids an individual to want what belongs to another. Unlike all of the other commands, it addresses inner feelings and thoughts such as envy and greed. Mm-hmm. If the Israelites were to enjoy a harmonious covenant relationship with God, every aspect of their lives must conform to His will. Outward adherence is insufficient. Inner selves must be patterned according to the divine principles of morality found in the Ten Commandments. As Jesus reminds us in Matthew 5:17-48, to interpret the commandments as requiring only outward obedience is to completely misunderstand their purpose.
Well,
nice.
And I think with having talked about all of this, I think we all, maybe not covet, but it might be a little bit more envy, and social media helps us. We're like, oh, I really want that lady's body, or my friend has such a perfect life. She has the perfect kids and she takes the perfect pictures, and, you know, and there's so many things like that on social media that I think get us in trouble because we're like, oh, we want her life. My life is not the way that I want it right now. And it
we have a misperception
with that. It is a misperception because then it comes out that now they're getting a divorce because he cheated and this and that, or she cheated and now this is falling all apart. And you're like, I had no idea. Well, right. Of course not. Right. You're looking at social media where we're going to put our best foot forward.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. We're going to only post the perfect picture with the perfect filter. Right. You know, all
the one
of
where
those.
I only have one chin.
Yes, up exactly. Here. Up here.
Way
it's
up.
Like
way
up. Sophie up here, you know. Which is so sad. It is so sad that we think that these other people's lives are so perfect, but we don't know what's behind the scene or right. all the times that you mm. now you read the news story. It was a murder-suicide.
Mm.
One of them flipped their lid and now
Gosh.
They killed their entire family
yeah.
and then killed themselves. So the grass isn't always greener
right.
on the other side.
Right.
Be thankful and happy with what you have. And like you said, work for the things that you actually want. Why is your life not the way that you want it? Well, maybe my life isn't the way that I want it because I'm not doing the things that I should be doing, you know?
I think the bottom line is that the commandments that we have, that
Absolutely.
We've been talking about over the past few weeks, were put there for us.
Mm-hmm.
And if we obey them and we listen to them, there is happiness there.
That's right.
Absolutely.
And I think that that is why God put them there, because he knew that we would find happiness in his law and in
Absolutely.
His way and in his concepts for our life.
Well, and if you look at kids, like I know my kids, when they know that they have boundaries,
mm-hmm.
if they know that, okay, mom and dad have set this line, don't cross it, they're a lot happier. Are they going to test it? Of
all
course
the
they're going to test it. And we
Daily.
All test our
Daily.
Boundaries, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's part of human nature is to
yeah.
test the boundaries. How far can I push it? Your horses do this. The grass is always eaten about this far out the fence because they're sticking their head out and they're trying to grab that grass.
Yes, but I've seen them do that in a full-on grain field.
No,
they're
I know.
Isn't that crazy?
Fence.
That's funny.
They are still pushing the fence.
Just like, what are you
doing? Tastes better on the other side.
It's like,
it always tastes better,
That's
or
funny.
They think it tastes
right.
better.
Perception again.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's all about that perspective and that perception of what it is. We are completely out of time again.
What a great 6 weeks, though.
Yeah,
it has been
a phenomenal 6 weeks, for sure. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope that you've enjoyed it as much as we've enjoyed having these discussions. And haven't you guys learned so much with this 6-part series? Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you next time in the Simply His Coffee Shop. Mm-hmm.